everybody, and welcome to Horror Movie Yearbook. I'm Tim.
I'm Willie.
Willie, how's it going?
It's going, man. It's going. You know, we're still pandemicing, you know, a little bit less than we were, so that's nice. A little bit of a let up there. We don't...
Here, at least.
Yeah, right. We don't get into too much in the way of current events lately, but, you know, it's been a crazy year. I mean, we won't go into details. Everybody knows what's going on, but it's been a crazy
year. We really
year.
Enjoy hopping in these time machines.
Yes, and getting out of 2020. It's been a crazy year. Yeah. So, you know, but I'm happy that we're able to keep recording and that we're able to hopefully, maybe, well, I know we're giving ourselves a moment of respite when we record this, but hopefully we're giving you guys like a moment to just sit down and not think about things that are going on right now. Maybe just relax a little bit and you know, I don't know.
Yeah, that reminds me, I want to let everybody know we did release a podcast.
We did
last week.
Yeah,
Tucker and Dale, I did not promote it anywhere on social media because, and rightfully so, people were focused on other things, and like it was one of those things where it never felt right. So apparently go for it now. Like,
yeah,
if you haven't listened, we did release Tucker and Dale, and there are some links in there too if you want to help out. So, not us, like jerks.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Honestly, if you've got some money burning in your pocket right now and you want to give it to somebody, give it to a charity right now.
Yes. There's better things to do than
give it to us.
Support us.
Don't give it
at the moment.
Yeah, right.
But then, you know, at some point down the road, if you'd like to, great. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's a weird time.
Oh, if you've got a lot of money burning.
Yeah,
in your pocket.
Got an absurd amount of money. No, I'm glad you did that because, it's not, I don't know. I don't ever want to come off as being tasteless, right? Or being like, I don't know. I just made kind of a tasteless joke about paying us money, but, you know, well, it is what it is. I can only control so much.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, I'm happy to be here and happy that you've announced that we put an episode out a couple weeks back.
Yes, so. And I hope all of our listeners are safe, healthy.
Yes.
All that good stuff.
Yes.
The Midwest Game Nerds. They did not release a podcast. They have a special podcast. Everybody should go check it out. It'll be a surprise when you search for them. Midwest Game Nerds. On, they released a very special one. Make sure to open up the show notes as well. And also, John, host of the Midwest Game Nerds, just had a child. So we want to congratulate John.
Yes, congratulations on baby number one. You know, it's awesome, man.
Yes. Cool. Yes. So that is, I believe that is the first father of the Midwest
Game Nerds.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
I think, well, no, because Nick's been on there, but I think it's the first regular father of the Midwest Game Nerds.
That's right. Yeah.
The Alienist is coming back next month. I know that'll be ramping up. So if you want to catch up, if you're a big Alienist fan, I just finished the book. It's quite fantastic.
You really liked that, right?
I did. Yeah, it's really good.
Cool.
And I have the TNT. I have the old TNT on the old YouTube TV. Mm. Oh my gosh, Willie. Netflix has released Scream Season 3, the one with Tony Todd and Mary J. Blige.
This came out at some point?
They dumped it last year on VH1.
VH1.
The YouTube TV reminded me that I don't get VH1.
But it's unrelated to the previous two seasons.
I think, but they bring back Ghostface, the Ghostface mask.
I wonder if it's related to the movies at all. I don't really know.
I don't know. It's only 6 episodes, though.
Weird.
Yeah. And Tony Todd plays, I believe his name is The Hook Man.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I will be watching this. But anyway, The Alienist is coming back. The first 3 episodes are up on the TNT app channel on demand, all that good stuff. So I will be watching the show and listening to the podcast. It's called The Alienist to Recap. It's a Midwest Film Nerds, Midwest Podcast Network original.
Heck yeah.
All right, we talked about the Game Nerds, right?
Yes.
We spoke on them. They will be, their next episode, I assume, will revolve around what we saw today.
I would think so, right? Because it was kind of this was kind of a big deal. I don't follow a ton of video game news. I follow a bit more than I used to, but but this was pretty big.
Yeah,
this was a big thing.
You were big into this. You watched the live stream, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did, yep.
I said okay, like I was very skeptical of you. I didn't mean.
Oh, I watched that on a one screen. Worked on my other 2 screens. So, yeah.
All right. So the big I watched...
This was like the PS5 reveal. That was their big thing, was this was... We didn't know exactly what games were going to be shown. We didn't even know if there was going to be a system shown. The only thing we've seen of the PS5 is the controller at this point, going into this.
Okay.
And so
we hadn't seen the console yet, right?
No.
What'd you think of it? Very sleek?
Yeah. Whatever. I don't get all hung up on this stuff. Some people get really upset about console design. Like, really upset about it, and I just don't care. Like, inevitably... It's going to be sitting somewhere underneath my TV, collecting more dust than it probably should while it fan huffs and puffs as I try to play games. I mean, I think it looks neat. I'm happy that it looks a little different than what we've come to know as the last couple of PlayStations, right? Because I think PS2, PS3, PS4 were all just kind of like... strong lines and edges. They were almost, I think PS3 was like a weird like silverish grayish color, right? But then 2 and PS4 were both black. I think there might be variations on it, but I think the standard was, and this one's kind of like got this kind of white candy shell. I don't know. It's kind of cool. It's neat. There's two versions too of the system.
Okay, so what are the two versions?
There's one that's disc-based.
I'm
going
to quiz you because I only watched the NBA 2K trailer.
Yeah, sure.
Miles Morales, and then Resident Evil, not Evil Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to quiz you a little bit here. So there are two versions
that are coming out, right? So there's one that's like standard, like you buy your discs and put a disc in and play the game, and there's one that's like no disc. It's all digital only. So I assume that one would be cheaper because you don't. I don't know. I like discs.
Yeah, you're still physical media guy.
Yeah. I'll play and pay an extra, however much. Reasonably.
Recent events have changed me a little bit, but I'm still with you.
It's changed me a little bit too because I bought a game that I never normally would have bought digitally, but I still think for the most part I want to have at least some stuff physically.
Yeah, because I'm in the same. The nice thing about digital too is like if I forget that I want a game and I'm like I want to play that now and I'm ready to move on to my next game, I would. Probably just go, I'll get it digital.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I prefer physical.
Yeah.
Physical copies, physical media.
I've bought, like I think I bought all the old Mega Man games digital because I have physical copies of them somewhere for a different system. So, like, I don't know. I'm starting to wane a little bit, too. But there are certain things that I think I'll always like to buy physical. While it's around,
Right.
Might not be forever, so...
So,
What did you think of the look of it? Did you see the look of the console? Did you like it? Do you care?
No, I didn't even care. Like, I kept seeing people talk about it and, like, make, like, jokes. I can't even remember the jokes they were making.
A lot of, like, oh, it looks like a modem.
Yeah. I was just in there, okay. Good. I was cluttered enough. I don't need any more shit.
Right.
I think we got hit with that explicit tag, right? So I can say whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need any more clutter on my... TV stand.
Nah.
So, I looked fine. As far as the look of the games, it's tough to tell because it's all like, so NBA 2K games all look the same right now anyway, to me. So, and honestly, I don't play them anymore because they're too hard. Mm. I prefer arcade style sports games at this point anyway.
The sweat looked good though.
it's very sweaty. But that seems to be a selling point of those basketball games anyway. They love to show off the sweat
because it shows you like you're really in it.
Yeah,
you know? Like, yeah,
they love showing off the sweat. It's been like so that for funny. Like the last 5 or 6
that's
years.
So funny to me. I mean, it makes sense to a certain degree,
right?
But then it's kind of weird.
Yeah,
like, you're kind of like, dude, why are we so obsessed with the sweat?
Anyway, I've kind of sucked at basketball video games for a while, and honestly the 2K games are just, they're too much for me, and not just basketball. I watched the Miles Morales trailer. I thought that looked very good.
Yeah. Did you finish Spider-Man yet?
No, I still haven't. Like I said, things have been.
Yeah, it's fair. It's a great game. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to playing more. So yeah, I'm down with this. I like the Miles Morales character. So
yeah, Miles is cool.
Should be cool. We'll see how it goes.
Miles is cool. Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything. And then we had the big one for us. Well, was there anything else you want to mention? Any other games that you want to mention?
You know which one looked cool was Stray.
The cat game, right?
Looks sweet.
Yeah, it looks cool.
You play as a cat. I'm like, that's cool. It's like a futuristic cat simulator. So I'm down with that. But I have no idea what it's about or what it is. It just looked neat. I like cats. So
are you a big Ratchet and Clank guy?
I never played them. No.
Are you big Horizon? Is it Horizon Zero Dawn?
Never played that either.
What was the other big one? Gran Turismo?
No. Yeah, I'm kind of weird. I'm very
GTA 5.
I'm very I've played that. I'm very narrow in terms of kind of what I like to play. I'm kind of boring. Every once in a while, I'll branch out. Like, I just played the Uncharted games.
Have you played all of them now?
I have beaten all four of them.
Nice.
Yeah, since the quarantine started, I finished all four.
Nice.
But, like, and I wound up, like, kind of loving them. And they're enormously frustrating in sections, but I loved them overall. But that's not my normal kind of game either. So, you know, and I wound up enjoying it. So when I do kind of head outside of my own video game box, I usually wind up happy. I just don't do it that often.
Right. So the big one here, though.
Yeah.
Is
the
Resident,
big one, yes.
Resident Evil 8, and what is the subtitle again?
Village. Yes.
The Village.
Yeah.
All right. So,
man.
I watched the trailer for this.
Yeah.
I have not played games 4 through 7 still, because I've fallen out of video games. The only video game I find right now that I can concentrate for any short period of time is Nintendo. It's on the Switch. It's called Super Mega Baseball 3.
No, that sounds cool.
Yeah. So, and I can play it while I watch TV.
That sounds cool.
So, I have not played 4 through 7 yet.
Okay.
Am I miss is th- now is this in this is the main continuity, right? This is
this
Resident
is the
Evil,
main,
this
is
a, the next game, right?
This is the next game. This is not a remake of an existing game like the last couple have been. It's
okay.
Its own thing. This is a direct sequel to 7. So this is
So beware spoilers. Maybe.
Yes. I'll be careful because you haven't really played 7. So I'll say this. The protagonist from 7 is coming back as the protagonist in this game.
Okay.
So that's cool. Ethan is his name.
Okay.
It looks like they're definitely continuing out of that. This looks very supernatural, though, doesn't it? Compared to normal Resident Evil games. This looks very... there's, like, witch-looking women and a werewolf guy.
Yeah.
I think we're being tricked here. I think that this is all still virus-based.
Now, did I see the mansion in this?
A mansion, yes. But I'm
not
wondering...
Not the mansion.
I don't know.
Okay.
And the mansion's gone. I mean, technically.
Right.
Chris is in this trailer.
That was the other thing.
And he looks like he's gone bad, right?
Kind of. But that's another thing.
Shooting somebody.
Yeah. Where I'm not sure where they're going with that.
It seems like a... I don't know. We'll see. You know, they mentioned at the top of the trailer, like, his story is complete or something. I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
Maybe it's like the last game with Chris. Maybe this is finally like the big swan song for that character. We'll see, man. I don't know. I mean, it looks cool. It doesn't look terribly Resident Evil-ish to me, but none of these games have...
That was kind of a thing at the 7 trailer,
same
too,
thing,
right?
Yeah. So, and I was definitely skeptical about 7, and I think fairly.
Now, is 7 a little bit Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah, it's very Texas Chainsaw. I think the three big inspirations are Sweet Home, which is the game that was the inspiration for the whole series.
Right.
Texas Chainsaw and Evil Dead, they said, is a big reference. So you'll enjoy it.
Okay.
The difference with 7 is it's first person.
Okay.
And this game is going to be first person as well.
Okay.
So we're getting back out of what they did with 2 and 3, where you're third person kind of. So unfortunately, getting back into the groove and getting used to those is going to be useless for us. I'm going to replay 7 before this eventually comes out. 7 is kind of a masterpiece of horror. It's so good. Scared the shit out of me. And this looks interesting. I'm sure it'll be good. Capcom's been on a roll, so
yeah,
I'll put my faith in them. I liked 3. I thought 3 was a little short, but I liked 3 quite a bit.
Right.
And I really loved 2. So, and I think you've kind of felt the same, right? About 2 and 3?
Yeah, I loved 2. I loved the 2 remake. I really liked 1. And yeah, 3 I liked. 3 I liked.
Yeah.
So I'm eager to move on to the next ones in the game. I know.
I'll be honest with you. I'll say this. So this game is coming out next year. I would say you really realistically, if you only get a chance to play one game before you play this one, it should be 7. Because it sounds like that leads directly into this.
When do you think this will come out? Probably fall of next year?
I bet it, yeah. I think we're a ways up.
Me too.
There's an interesting development story about this that I won't get into here, but this was not Resident Evil 8, by the way, when this started development. This was a side game.
Okay, because this was
Revelations 3.
You had mentioned to us off air that the rumors have turned out to be true with
this,
right? And that was one of the rumors.
Yeah, that this was not even originally going to be Resident Evil 8. And then the game that was going to be Resident Evil 8 has had some setbacks, and so that's going to wind up being, I assume, 9 down the road. I don't know.
Right.
But, I don't know. It looks interesting. I'm
yeah.
Down.
What do you? What are your overall thoughts? Up or down? Thumbs up or down? Excited?
It looks fine. I don't know. Okay. I guess I'm. On one hand, I'm like the Chris stuff. If we can take it at face value, and it is him going bad, it's kind of weird. I mean, I guess that's the way I want to end the character, which is it's kind of a bummer because he's. I don't know, but sometimes heel turns can work. But I'm sure it's going to be creepy and great. The trailer's fine. I don't really understand much of what's happening. There's creepy right. images, and they work for me. So I thought the trailer for 7 was better, okay. personally.
Yeah, I remember the trailer for 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. This, but, yeah, because even not knowing, I went, oh, that looks really cool, 7. This one I was still kind of like, okay, what is this?
Yeah, what are we looking at?
Yeah, what are we looking at? Okay. I think that was it.
Yeah, I think so.
Grilling you on. But look, go listen to the Game Nerds. I'm sure they'll have a podcast.
They'll get way more in-depth.
Probably. Probably soon would be my guess. Mm-hmm. So I would guess by the time you listen to this, it might be in your podcast feeds.
There's a good chance. They're quick.
They are quick and they're excited. Okay. Well, you want to get the hell out of 2020?
Yes, please.
Do you want to say goodbye to your wife and kid?
I'll see.
We'll be back.
Yeah, we'll be
coming. I might ask you to leave me. Just take, okay. just come back and grab me, depending on where we're at by the time this is done.
You got it, pal.
Yeah. All right. I haven't done a time machine noise in a while.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I like that.
There are going to be some more bad noises because I'm going to be singing here in a minute, I think. So
I'm excited about that.
We're back in December of 1996.
Wow.
Yeah.
This came out in December?
10 times. December of 1996. What? Well, it came out in December, and remember they re-released it.
That's right.
The next year. So,
right.
because,
so weird.
Because of the... Yeah, that was... The Weinsteins wanted to get it out. The Weinstein Company wanted to get it out at around that time.
I mean, they're never known to make questionable decisions, right? So
for four reasons. Well, we're in 1996. We don't really know that. Well, yeah.
You anybody know, they were pretty notorious right out of the gate.
Yeah, and anybody paying attention to horror knows that like they have shitty decision making when it comes to this.
Yes.
Which we'll probably touch on a little bit.
I would think so.
So we'll run through it just quick. This is the year of the Bill Clinton re-election, the introduction of Pokemon.
You were 12 this year?
I was 12. You were 10,
yep.
right?
Yep.
By December, yeah, we were both double digits. MJ, Michael Jordan, winning his 5th NBA title. I believe it would be, the Macarena. Dolly, the cologne sheep. Independence Day, the Atlanta Summer Olympics. And the debut of Oprah's Book Club. You big Oprah's Book Club fan?
Sure, why not?
She had...
Never utilized it.
But. My dad, a big Oprah fan. She had... One of her book club picks was The Road by Cormac McCarthy.
Holy shit! Really?
And I went, damn.
Oprah.
Yeah, like this is middle of the day and you've got The Road on.
Wow, Oprah don't play, dude.
Very good book, though.
I've never read it, but I know enough. wow.
Yeah, it was dark. So anyway, this was, more importantly, though, and most importantly, this was the year. So we have been to this year before. We have talked about Scream before.
Yeah.
So just a heads up, I did not get a chance to re-listen to that episode.
It doesn't matter.
I don't care. If you're going to call us out for repeating things.
We will echo some of those sentiments, I'm sure, here on this episode. But it is what it is. You're going to hear a little bit more of an expanded look at the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to call us out for repeating things, just keep it to yourself. Please.
Yeah.
But the most important thing that has happened this year is with my own money, with my allowance money, I bought my first parental advisory labeled CD.
That's pretty cool. That's a hallmark, right? I mean,
it was a big deal. I went down to the CD shop, I believe is what it was called. It was called like Timber CD. I don't remember, but it was downtown right next to the old movie theater, right downtown, beautiful Gaylord, Michigan. It was right downtown. It was essentially just, it honestly was kind of a house like this. It was just like
yeah.
upstairs it had, I don't know, like speakers and stuff. And downstairs it had a bunch of CDs. It was so weird. It was just a house that they put a CD shop in.
A lot of small towns do that, right? Old houses that yep. they convert into retail.
It's something else now. I want to say it's a furniture store now.
That's boring.
Yeah. But back in the day, and it was only for a year or two, it was a CD store. And it's That's where cool. I would walk and buy really, really overpriced CDs. And this one was a double disc. It was Tupac's All Eyes on Me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So I bring that up because
man.
We are going to play. I'm going to sing. To you.
Oh my. Oh,
and I'm going to ask great. You to help me finish the lyrics.
Oh,
to
God.
Some of these songs.
Is this the Tupac album?
No, no. No.
Oh, I'm like, Tim, I never really listened to Tupac.
No, what this is, these are like hit songs from 1996.
Okay. I thought I'm like, I'm going to embarrass myself right now because I don't know a lot of Tupac. Okay.
I have listened to Tupac CD recently, and it still holds up. But anyway, there is a song from here that on there, but we'll get to that later.
Okay.
Do I want to tell you the titles?
No,
I'm
not
gonna
tell you. Man.
I'm gonna sing to you. So this first one was a big hit. Have you warned Nikki and that there?
No, I forgot.
All right. I've warned the audience enough. So here we go. I've had half a truly, so I'm ready to do this. The nights are lonely. The days are so sad. And I just keep thinking about the love that we had. And I'm...
Something and nobody knows it but me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm missing you.
Okay.
And nobody... Do you remember...
I was going to say I'm crazy, baby, but nobody...
Do you remember her saying that song?
I don't, actually.
It was the Tony Rich Project.
Oh, okay, cool.
Nobody knows. And I remember in the first slow dance to that song.
Nobody knows... Yeah, that would be... When was the first school dance? Wouldn't have been until middle school. You were in middle school at this point. So, yeah, that makes total sense. You would have been in, what, seventh grade? So I think I was in fifth.
Yeah, I never know how the grades work.
I think I was in fifth.
Yeah, I think I would have been sixth or seventh.
Yeah. I went to a couple middle school dances, so that, yeah.
This was a middle school dance. I'm
for sure.
Sure of it.
For sure. No question. Okay.
Do you want... I'm going to give you a choice now. You want rock, you want hip-hop, you want pop?
Oh, man. Go hip-hop. Let's do the hip-hop.
Okay, I'm going to try to get this right, the tone of it, because I can't remember this first part.
All right.
But when it's time to die, gotta go bye-bye. All Little Thug could do was cry. Well, they killed my dog, and man, I...
Cried?
Miss my Uncle Charles, y'all.
Yeah, I don't know this.
Do you remember the song?
No.
That's The Crossroads by Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Bone Thugs, yeah. I can never remember what there's a song with Tupac and Bone Thugs. It's a Bone Thugs song featuring Tupac. Mm-hmm. I've talked about it on this podcast before. It's the coolest song ever in the history of the world.
With the shotgun.
Yep. It's so sweet. Anyway.
All right.
That's all I got.
You want pop, hip-hop, or rock? Don't make me do hip-hop. Don't make me do two hip-hop songs in a row.
What's that?
Don't make me do two hip-hop songs in a row. That was rough enough.
Hey, let's move over to rock. Let's try a rock song.
All right. I didn't ask. They shouldn't have told me. At first I left, but now it's sinking fast. Whatever they sold me. But baby.
I don't want to take advice from fools.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
I'm hoping there are some people that are just like screaming.
Till I hear it from you. Who was that?
That was the Gin Blossoms.
Gin Blossoms, yeah. That is on the, I believe, Empire Records soundtrack.
That sounds right.
Or is it Can't Hardly Wait soundtrack?
We have a listener.
I'm going to look it up.
We have a good listener named Steve that is probably screaming what soundtrack that is on. He met the Gin Blossoms.
Oh, cool,
backstage.
Steve. That's neat.
And I'm just going to... I'm going to tell some tales out of school here. He said the lead singer was an ass.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, he said he was a jerk.
Track one on the Empire Records soundtrack, Till I Hear It From You, Gin Blossoms. So hopefully Steve wasn't yelling at me because I said it right out of the gate.
We're going to switch to switch to pop here.
Yep.
Where'd it go? I don't think I'm going to do one of these because it's just like I took 3 years of high school Spanish, but I don't know if I can. It would be embarrassing. You will always be a part of me. Oh, boy. I'm part of you indefinitely. Boy, don't you know you can't escape me.
Because you'll always be my baby.
You're close enough. It's ooh, darling, because you'll always...
Okay,
yeah,
okay,
you forgot,
okay.
You just forgot the ooh, darling. That's
yeah.
Mariah Carey, Always Be My Baby.
I knew that one. Yep.
That was...
Always be my baby.
To all Mariah Carey fans out there, I'm sorry for that performance.
I mean, I've heard her recently. She's not that much better. That's not true. I heard her at the... She was actually quite good at that New Year's thing a few years back.
Oh,
she
that's
just,
right.
She just... They played the wrong song, which is unfortunate. Really, that's not on her.
Out on... yeah. We'll just do the first part of this. Out on bail, fresh out of jail. California Dreamin'.
Oh, okay.
That's Tupac and
Doc. Dude, I'm so bad at that. I'm horrible at hip-hop.
I should have run this by you.
Terrible.
We're going to skip that one.
I'm embarrassingly bad.
You're probably not going to know. And I miss you like the deserts miss the rain. And I miss you. And we're definitely not going to do... I know that song. I was putting this together, and I got cocky. I'm like, I'm going to do the Macarena on here.
Oh, wow.
I can't... Dale took over. I can't even do it.
Wait, what was the... Was that...
It's Dale. First word is Dale.
No. Who was the... And I miss you. Blah, blah, that was
everything but the girl. Was her name? Like the step off the train.
It's not a great song.
Got played a lot.
A lot.
This one's an easy one, and then we're gonna go into two that are gonna lead into our discussion tonight. I promise this is going somewhere.
Okay.
A traffic jam when you're already late. A no smoking sign. No cigarette break. It's like
10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife.
It's meeting the man of my dreams.
And then meeting his beautiful wife. Isn't it funny?
It's from Jagged Little Pill. That's
yeah.
A good album.
My mom was into that album when it came out. She loved it.
Good album.
And then my wife's a big Alanis fan. So, yeah, I like Alanis. This would have been when Alanis, not long before Alanis was dating Ryan Reynolds. They were a couple for a long time. Canadian duo.
Oh, this was pre Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, Ryan Reynolds.
Not too far ahead
of it,
though.
But not far off,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a couple years. So, yeah, I like Alanis. Yep.
I'm trying to think which one of these two I should do first.
I'm proving my whiteness, by the way. I didn't know a single lyric from the Tupac song, and I knew... everything about the Alanis
from Alanis. So. I had that. I know all those Alanis songs. All right, so
yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
How does this go? Okay, all the dead kids lying on your door, and you don't hear a word they're telling you. You're all dead.
Oh yeah, That's from. I don't know. I remember.
It goes. You've been wasted.
Okay, okay. That's Youth in America, isn't it?
Yeah, my bird brain.
Yeah, Youth in America is sweet. Apparently, I didn't know that part of the lyric, though. But it's a sweet song on a soundtrack full of really good songs.
There's one more song that I don't believe is on the official soundtrack.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's one of those in the movie, but I never understood that. I always understood, like, songs being on the soundtrack but not in the finished film.
Yeah.
Because you need to pad out the soundtrack sometimes.
Right.
Right? Like, you look at, like, the Scream 3 soundtrack, and, like, there's two of those songs are in the movie. But I never understood the reverse. Maybe, I don't know.
I think it's probably a rights issue.
So weird,
right?
Yeah,
it's probably a legal issue.
Interesting. Anyway.
Because I can see why this one might be.
Yeah, I guess it's different probably to use it on screen than it is on a...
I think you'll get...
album that you're selling. Okay.
I think you'll get this one. I'm not going to attempt to do the voice because it's such a distinct voice. On a gathering, and I just immediately, on a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat and a...
Is he a red right hand?
Yep.
Yeah.
Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
That didn't sound anything like him, but that's how I interpret.
And what is that song from? What movie?
It's from Scream.
It's from Scream.
Yes. Yes, by Nick
Cave. I told
Cave.
You we were going somewhere. I'm sorry I tortured everybody.
No. I'm sorry I didn't know a lot of those. Yeah, that's a good song, too. And I think they use that again, if I recall correctly. So we'll be talking about Red Right Hand again.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
So this is Scream, released December 20th, 1996. A year after the murder of her mother, a teenage girl is terrorized by a new killer who targets the girl and her friends by using horror films as part of a deadly game. Directed by Wes Craven, written by Kevin Williamson, starring Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, David Arquette, Matthew Lillard, Skeet Ulrich, Jamie Kennedy, Drew Barrymore, and who is the one? Rose McGowan.
Yes.
Maybe my favorite character in the movie.
God, there's a lot of people in this movie.
So
before they were stars, too.
This is a great, great, great cast. Honestly, all of the Scream movies have really solid
casts.
They do.
Yeah, really talented. Yeah.
Yeah, I am excited to dive back in. This was my favorite. I named this as my number one movie of all time. You had it on your top 10 at like... 4 or 5, somewhere around that.
Yeah, I think it was in the top half. God, isn't it funny how I forget so soon? But yeah, no, I believe it was in the top half. Yep.
If you go back to our 100th episode, by the time I get to Scream, I've got a good solid buzz on, so I don't really.
Yeah, that's fair.
But you go back and listen to it. We explain ourselves. I talk a little bit about how this is kind of, this is my gateway horror movie in a lot of ways. Like, this is the one that opened up horror movies for me.
Right.
I had kind of flirted with horror movies in the past. I had watched them, but this is the one that caused me to just kind of dive right in. And honestly, the stuff that came at the movies that came after it, stuff like I Know What You Did Last Summer and Urban Legend, mm-hmm. kind of those teen horror movies of the late 90s, that's the stuff that also kind of hooked me as well. So that helped a little bit too. But Scream is the big one for me. Willie, just some, what are your overall thoughts on
Scream? Scream's a perfect movie. I don't say that about a lot of movies. I really don't. There's only a handful of movies that I think are perfect. And I defined this before on the show. I defined it before on other shows I've talked about. When I say perfect film, I think everything works. All of it. And I think that the movie accomplishes everything it sets out to do. Every emotion it wants you to feel. I just think it fires on all cylinders. And it's an experience that's perfect. I mean, it's hard to talk about Scream because there's not a lot of fault I can find in it. There's none, which is crazy. I think that the young cast is top-notch. I think this is Wes doing his best work, and I think Wes was a very talented human being, but this is his best work, I think. You've got Kevin Williamson at the top of his game. I mean, really just an incredible writer, especially for teenage voices. Just so impressive. Kind of the second coming of John Hughes in a way, right? Kind of that generation's John Hughes, including the tone of what he did compared to what John Hughes was doing. You know, it was a little bit darker, a little more moodier, which the 90s was a little darker and moodier, so it makes sense. There's just so much. It's a complete, perfect horror story in and of itself. But it also pays tribute to and celebrates everything that came before it, not just in Wes Craven's filmography, but everything that came before it. And it's got a character that for the first time in, I think this is the first time in movie history that I really, truly related to a character. That I was really like, that's me, and okay. I'm in the movie, and I hope this guy lives, because if he lives, I live. You know, I don't know. I really felt it was Randy, the Randy character.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Henry Winkler.
Well, of course.
The principal.
What a weird character that is. But
but you know what? Winkler owns.
He does. He does. He's there for one reason.
Yeah.
And he does it well.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Randy.
The red herrings are not nearly as effective in later movies. But hey, Winkler's a pretty solid red herring in this one, actually, I think.
What's interesting about Scream, and I just jumping in because you brought up the red herring, is it the later movies are all whodunits. Scream kind of is, but for the most part, like it doesn't focus that much on the whodunit.
See, and that you're right, and I think you're hitting on something that's very important as to why Scream 2, and we'll talk about it next time, I think is one of the great horror sequels. And I think there's things to like about Scream 3 and 4, for sure. I haven't rewatched those yet for this,
right.
So I will see how I feel, but there are things definitely to enjoy there, too. But I think what you're hitting on as a major difference is you spend so much of Scream, the original, so invested in what's going on and enjoying the storyline so much and enjoying the characters so much and enjoying the relationship so much and the music and the cinematography and everything that you lose yourself in it and you really don't care who the killer is, right? Yeah. You don't care.
Right.
It doesn't become a thing that you're after Barrymore lifts that mask up in the opening sequence and looks at the killer like she knows who he is. That's the last time you really give a damn about thinking about who the killer is until we reach the finale and it's revealed.
Yes.
And then you go, whoa. I remember I could not. Preface, we're going to give spoilers about Scream.
We're just going to have a conversation at this point.
It's a movie that's been out for a very long time. If you have not seen Scream or 2 or 3 or any of these movies, at the very least, I'll keep spoilers out.
Yeah. But when it comes to who the killer is.
I will be spoiling Scream 1 starting now.
Yeah.
So you really, in my opinion, you don't care and don't think about who the killer is. You just want Sydney to survive, and you want her friends to survive because you like these people, which is a rarity, need I remind everybody, in slasher movies. These are well-developed characters and likable characters. It doesn't happen. By the time Scream came around, that genre was dead, right? And people had kind of grown cold on it, and I think a big reason of that is people got tired of the paper-thin characters. I'm not saying every slasher movie. There are strong characters throughout, but Scream was really top to bottom, I think.
As far as teenage characters, though, it had been a while.
Yeah,
since we got a group as interesting, I'll say, too, because you know what? They're not always likable. They've got a hard edge to them.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Likable is not necessarily the right word.
Not for all. But you know what? Even then, though,
they're enjoyable to watch, though.
They're enjoyable to watch, and they're relatable because they're kids in the 90s.
Yeah.
They're kids in the 90s. They are smart. They are smart when it comes to media, and they're also a little bit cynical and a little bit aloof a lot of the time.
A lot of angstiness, too.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So, which was very much tapped into how kids were during that time period.
Having grown up in the 90s, I can tell you, every one of these kids in this movie, I remember somebody like that.
Right.
Usually older than me, but I remember somebody like that.
And now I know I've seen some backlash towards the Randy character in some places, and I get it. Like, because he is kind of a know-it-all.
Sure.
When it comes to that kind of stuff. But you know what? Like, yeah. Like, especially high school, college age kids. Like, that's the way they are, especially film nerds like that.
And I agree. And here's the reason why I forgive it. And I think they're probably because people that are more critical of that maybe are talking about the scene where he's standing up in front of the crowd and he's going on his kind of famous rant about, you know, like, here's the rules of horror movies and blah, blah, blah. I think a big part of that is, as somebody who is very much like Randy, maybe not as obnoxious as Randy, but you got to turn your characters up a notch or two to make them pop off the screen. So I get it. But I can imagine, like, this is my time to shine. Like, I'd be so excited. Like, I'm the life of the party right now because I'm the one who gets to show my expertise.
And he's talking in that scene. He's talking to the cool kids.
Yes.
He's talking to the kids.
First time he's had an active listening audience of cool kids. So, yeah, he's going to get into it.
And he's probably going to just talk about basic stuff.
Yeah. Probably. So, no, I don't know. I think we're being too hard on Randy.
I wanted to bring that up because
I think folks are being too hard.
Yeah, because I've seen that pop around, and I think it's a little bit. You have to remember the time, and I also think you have to remember the character too. And that scene you talk about, I want to talk about a little bit later too when we talk about some of the Billy, Stu, Sydney stuff, because that scene is very, very important when it comes to explaining what I think is like the smartest scene in the film, which is that first attack on Sydney. Because like it kind of hit me this time around, like how incredible that scene is and some of the stuff it is. But anyway, we'll go back to where we were at.
Yeah, so the you forget, kind of, you don't think about who the killer is. And when the reveal happens, the initial reveal is technically Billy, right? Because he comes down the stairs and she sees he's battered and bruised and he licks the blood off and he's like, oh, it's... And then she turns to run out and Stu's there and she kind of looks at him, up at him like, help me out. And then I did not see this in theaters. I saw two in theaters. I saw this one on VHS.
Same here, yep.
And I will never forget, my head exploded. I was like, they can't have two killers. Like, in my slasher fan mind, I was thinking, you can't have two killers. That's not allowed.
Right.
It's amazing that like the genre was so ingrained in my brain at that point that I had already hit this point of, you can't do that.
Right.
And I was just so amazed by it and so taken aback by it. And I think it still works because I remember watching this not terribly long ago with a friend of the show, Nick, who had not seen it before and did not know the ending. Were you there for that?
No, I was not.
And it was wonderful. I watched his face during that sequence because I'm like, I got to see his reaction. And I think he was like, oh my God, wow, that's kind of clever, like to, you know, to do too. So it still works.
And I think a lot of that is script because the script is very good. But a lot of that is Wes. This is a perfect match for Wes in a lot of ways.
It is, yeah.
And it, for him to come across this, especially after New Nightmare, which is kind of the proto Scream in a lot of ways, this is, I mean, he knocks it out of the park. Wes is, this is his, I'm with you, I think this is his masterpiece. I think this is.
I agree.
I think
yeah.
this is, and I love a lot of his movies, and I don't like some of his movies.
Sure.
But Wes is always, at the very least, Wes is always interesting, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't want to make, I think so too. But this, I think, is just everything.
Yeah, it's
the, everything.
I think this is his movie, in my opinion, for
right.
sure. I think he'll always be more remembered probably for Nightmare, but and that's okay. That's fair. I think Freddy Krueger is certainly the more iconic creation, but I think the best film is Scream. But yeah, man, I think what you were saying earlier is you get so lost in the movie, you don't think about it. Whereas with the sequels, I think what's interesting is when the sequels come along, you've now been blown away by this twist of a reveal of not one but two killers,
mm-hmm.
and now you're like, who's it going to be this time? It becomes less about, certainly as we move through the series, but two starts to become less about, I think, the story and less about the characters. I think there's still a lot of character there and there's still a lot of enjoyment there. If you're fans of the characters, but I think a lot of the thrill of the sequels winds up being who's going to get unmasked, right?
It was like the selling point to them as well.
It became that,
yeah.
certainly.
Particularly
pretty quickly.
The third one, if I recall, the advertisements were all geared around.
Yeah, it became that too quickly, I think. I'm a person who actually, for the most part, enjoys the sequels, but. I do remember, yeah, when 2 came out, and we'll talk more detail about that. I remember being in class, and this girl had seen it early for somehow. She saw it early. She came in, she's like, guys, I saw Scream 2. Like, guess who the, you know, and somebody asked, like, oh my God, who's the killer? And she's like, I'm like, shut up. Shut your mouth right now. Because that was such an important aspect of it.
Yeah,
know?
My uncle saw it in the theater before we screamed too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was all he wanted to talk about. And I'm like, you don't talk to
Please
me
don't.
It.
Yeah. So I did not get it spoiled for me. So I think I got 3 spoiled for me somehow before it happened. But whatever. We'll get into that later. But this movie, it really does. It's that reveal, man. That it's amazing. And everything leading up to that works too. But my Randy being my boy, that always... That was kind of my in for this movie, and in my younger days, I definitely related to that character. So, I think it's a perfect movie, man. I really do.
I think the other thing about this movie is it's not a mystery movie. It is a horror movie. It's a dark comedy. It's all of these different things, and it's very funny. Like, it's a funny, funny movie.
Even in its darkest moments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Live or Alone.
Live her alone. All right. Hit me with the phone, dick! I love that. Everything Lillard's doing in the final reel of this movie, the final act of this movie, is so good.
I think Lillard is. So, I was with you when I still like Randy a lot. I don't want to pretend like I
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
I still like Randy a lot. But Randy was the guy, too. Like, he was the one I... But bad. Lillard is on fire. And I also kind of have a soft spot now for... Rose McGowan in this movie. I think she's fantastic
yeah.
in this movie.
Yeah, her character's fun.
She's
yeah.
peppy and, mm-hmm. yeah, I like Rose McGowan. She's she's a lot of fun in this movie, but man, Matthew Lillard.
He is like, dude.
Every line is hysterical. And I've always kind of liked Lillard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always thought it was funny. I will say one thing before you continue that I do think is very, very cool about this movie and going back and rewatching it. You can specifically figure out who is behind the mask in any given scene.
Right.
Which is very cool to me.
I do think that is a big... This is a very rewatchable film because it's rewarding on rewatches.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
And that's an aspect. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that's the thing about this movie. So it's all of those things. And the other thing is you kind of... So the 90s, like we've gone through quite a few 90s movies on this show. The 90s aren't... They get a little bit of a bad rap because they come after the 80s, which everybody kind of agrees, like, is one of the high point decades-wise
for sure.
Horror.
Yeah.
This also came after that second slasher cycle, which was, like, 86 through, well, from about Nightmare on Elm Street on to about 87, 88, I would say.
Yeah.
But this came at a time when those I said we talk about the Weinsteins because they were in charge of Hellraiser at the time. But this is those big franchises had devolved into absolute stupidity for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason Goes to Hell had come out, the Jason movies.
Yep. We had just, I mean, we were just coming out of technically New Nightmare, but yeah, Freddy's Dead.
Freddy's Dead was stupid.
And New Nightmare, was the goal was never to resurrect the franchise.
No, the goal was to do what Scream did, which is deconstruct.
Yeah, exactly.
Movies.
So that character was dead. Where was Halloween at this point?
Halloween would have been, I think...
Oh, Five had come
Five
out.
Had just come out in 95,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yep. So, would they have been on Curse?
It had not come out because Curse was post-Scream. Curse was the first.
I thought
post-
H2O was.
Was it?
I think Curse is late 95.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I have to write about that. I don't know.
Anyway, but I mean, the Hellraiser movies had devolved into. I think maybe Hellraiser was in space at this point. I can't remember. Either way, Hellraiser hit their high point early. So even if I'm wrong on that, like, it doesn't matter because whatever Hellraiser movie that came out was terrible. But we were getting. You had to really kind of look for the gems, I think, a little harder in the 90s. I think Candyman is a good one, but even some of the more fun stuff is kind of borders on schlocky nonsense. So there's some good stuff in the 90s, but Carpenter had kind of reached the end of his...
Curse was 95.
Okay. But Carpenter had kind of reached... He was... Post, I think, Mouth of Madness.
The Mouth of Madness was 94.
Yep. So,
he was past the prime.
King adaptations had kind of, even King's writing around this time, like I think Desperation like came out around this. King's writing was not, some of his horror.
This is not long before his accident.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the horror genre was in need of a jolt in a lot of ways. Yeah. And like I said, there's some good stuff, but you kind of have to dig for it around the time. And the thing was, Scream was like, Scream not only kickstarted, there's a book called Deconstructed that I had read. Shoot. I don't remember the author. I'll try to remember by the end of the show. Kessinger, I think, is his last name.
Okay.
Anyway, but he makes sure to point out, like, it didn't just kickstart the subgenre of, like, teen slasher movies. We call them WB thrillers.
WB thrillers,
yeah. Yeah, stuff like, we talked Urban Legends, I Know What You Did Last Summer, The Skulls.
Teaching Mrs. Tingle.
Yes. A Williamson joint. But it didn't just kickstart those. Like, they were a... Scream kind of helped kickstart stuff like American Pie, like those teen sex comedies.
For sure.
And it helped restart that kind of Zucker Abrams... Airplane style spoof with Scary Movie, because they started to make all those spoof movies.
That's right.
And that all spun out of Scream. And Scream is not a spoof.
No.
Scream?
No.
In a way.
It could have fallen into that if they did.
Yeah.
If the wrong studio had gotten a hold of it, I think it could have been. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think if West wasn't there as a guiding hand, and if Williamson, so Kevin Williamson has said that his favorite movie of all time is Halloween. And in some ways, I think this feels like a spiritual sequel to Halloween.
Yeah.
Because we talked about the characters. They're interesting. They all also kind of have a hard edge to them, but they feel like real people, which the Halloween characters do. The other thing, too, is we always talk about with Halloween, the scary thing about Halloween is that it's death, and it's essentially Michael Myers, who is death incarnate, coming to small-town white suburbia.
Right.
This is... the same thing, except it's white suburban kids doing the killing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not some force of nature. This, in a way, is scarier.
Yes.
And of its time, and a couple years later, something would happen, Columbine would happen.
That has some alarming parallels with what's going on here.
Yeah, and there were school shootings and stuff like that to this point, but that was the first big mass shooting like that in America when it came to schools. I think it was the highest at the time. I think it was 15. Most of the school violence in the 90s, I think it peaked in 93, but most of it was like one-off. Like,
that was, I remember that was the first, for me, the first real like shocking event that I vividly remember when it happened. And then the second would be probably 9/11 would be the second major.
Yes,
you know, in this country, certainly.
But what was scary about that? What was scary about this is it's white high school kids killing other high school kids.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so
scary.
With Michael Myers, this is taking that a step further. With Michael Myers, it's a force of nature for the most part.
Yeah, right.
I know he comes from Haddonfield. I know all that. I know the backstory. But for the most part, he is just this force of nature. This humanizes him. So
yeah,
you,
and these characters have... the other scary part is because you've got the two killers, right? You've got Billy's motive, which is a real motive that he has. I mean, he's still an insane person, but he's got a reason for what he's doing, right?
Right.
In his own twisted mind. He's got a revenge plot here. Stu, and I don't know if you ever read into this when you watch those kind of reveal moments. I don't think Stu had any idea that Billy was doing this for those reasons.
Can we dive into Billy, Stu, Sydney stuff?
Yeah, as long as you don't, as long as you're cool with that right now.
Let's do it. Yeah, because
there's a lot going on.
Okay, so the first question I want to ask you: do you think they had a relationship, Billy?
Yes.
Stu? So you 100%. Fall on that side.
Yep. 100%. I don't think it necessarily started off as that. I don't think it started off as that necessarily, but I think it certainly became that. Yeah, for sure.
Now, do you think that... Now, Kevin Williamson is a gay man. He's a homosexual man.
I did not know this, actually.
Oh, did you not? No. Yeah, so he is. Now, I think... I'm with you. I think they did.
I don't think it matters too much, really.
I don't think so either.
But I think I think there's enough implication there that yes.
And I think it's... So the reason I'm not completely sure... It's heavily implied, I think, throughout the film, particularly at the end. I think the end is kind of an explosion of implications when it comes to that with the knife plunging and all of that stuff. I kind of think that might be a little bit more Wes in the sense that
sure.
With Williams, there is kind of a trope of the repressed homosexual like as serial killer that I think is a little bit... iffy, a little bit problematic.
No, it is. Sure.
So I think maybe...
It's a dated...
It is dated.
Yeah.
And I would think that Williamson probably knows that. I'm not going to say he didn't put it in there as a hint. I mean, I'm not going to say he didn't have it in his head, because honestly, it makes sense, too,
sure.
Plot-wise. But I think that feels to me like something Wes would definitely try to play up with his direction at the end.
Sure, I could see that. And you know what's funny is I think just because there was a relationship between those two characters, I don't even necessarily think that they're necessarily homosexual characters. I'm not
That's
even saying
fair.
That.
Yeah, I didn't even mean yeah.
Sure, I'm not even saying that. I think these two had some sort of physical relationship. I don't even know that they're homosexuals. I don't think Stu is anything. I think Stu is out of his fucking mind, and I think he sees people as playthings. I don't even think he, you know what I mean?
Stu, yeah, he's along for the ride.
Yeah, he's whatever. As long as Stu's having a good time. Because I think Stu was in a legitimate relationship with Tatum at the start of this movie.
Right.
Or not the start of this movie, but I think that he was at some point. And we know for a fact that he was also in a relationship with Casey.
Yes.
Which goes to show you that really, Stu had his little bit of revenge plot at the very beginning of this movie, too, right? I mean, he got his comeuppance from her. So there is a personal stake in it for him, too. But no, I'm with you. I've always thought that there was something going on there. How deep it goes, I don't know. But
I don't think it's explicit.
No.
And I don't think you have to.
And that's fine. It doesn't need to be.
You don't have to go along with it. But I think it's there. I think you can read into it.
I do think it's there. I also, like I said, I do not think... Lillard's a pretty solid actor, actually,
right.
And every time I see this movie, his performance there in the moment when Billy is talking to Sydney about, you know, your mother is a whore and all this stuff, and you know, she's the reason why my dad left, or my mom, I don't know, whatever, she's the reason my family fell apart. There's a couple of moments where they switch over onto. Stu's reaction, he has no idea that any of this was the case. I think he thought that Billy was just like him. He was just in it for the shits and giggles, right? They were just like Bonnie and Clyde. They were like, you know, just in it for the cheap thrills of it. And that was not what Billy was in it for. Not even, I think Billy enjoyed it, but he was, at the end of the day, he was doing it for a goal. He had a goal in mind.
Now, yeah, so the stuff I wanted to talk about with Billy and Stu and that one scene. I found the title. Scream Deconstructed, and I want to give credit. It's Scream Deconstructed, an unauthorized analysis by Scott Kessinger. And I've been reading it, and he points it out, and it's the first time I think that it's really hit me, that first scene, because it's always been a little bit weird to me. I've always kind of got it, but that scene where Sydney is attacked in her house and she runs into the arms of Billy.
Mm-hmm.
So what Billy and Stu are doing there, and this is where I think the kind of sexual dynamics get really interesting, is Stu is essentially trying to scare Sydney into Billy's arms.
Yes.
He's not trying to kill her.
No.
He's trying to scare her so that Billy can manipulate into having sex with him.
Yes.
So that he can follow the rules of those 80s slashers that he's grown up on. And there's an old Nirvana In Bloom lyric.
And really what they're doing too, real quick, with what Stu's doing by chasing her around, is also setting up Billy to wind up getting locked up so that a phone call can be made. So, yes. Like, they know what they're, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, anyway. It makes sense plot-wise, and it makes sense character motivation-wise. Yeah, there's an old In Bloom by Nirvana. I'm not going to sing again, don't worry. But it goes, he's the one who knows all our pretty songs, and he likes to sing along, and he likes to shoot his gun, but he don't know what it means.
Mm.
And, like, that's what that reminds me of, is, like, those 80s slasher movies, particularly, well, it's not 80s, but Halloween, like, they always had something to say, and not all... Those good ones. The stuff that came after it, and I think a lot of the stuff that gets held up as kind of misogynistic trash.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, is like cheap cash-in stuff.
Sure.
That people just made for a buck to capitalize on stuff like Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street. That's the stuff I think that Billy is obsessed with. And those are the movies. Those are the rules that he has to follow. And so that is what that lyric reminds me of, because he doesn't connect with what stuff like Halloween is trying to say.
No.
He's seeing at a surface level, which is, I have to make this girl have sex with me so that I can kill her later.
Yep.
Because those are the rules. Those are kind of the misogynistic slasher rules.
Yeah.
That's kind of his background, and his reasoning for killing is because of his mom breaking up the marriage, and he kind of sees her as a quote-unquote slut.
Yeah.
And he wants to punish all sluts like he sees done in those slasher movies. And, this is the first time I think that that's kind of hit me, how kind of incredible that scene is to me, early on. Because
it's pretty twisted stuff.
And so when Randy is standing up in front of the cool kids and explaining, he's explaining that scene to those kids.
Yeah.
And it's necessary, and it's so smartly done. And that is a combination of Wes and Wes and Williamson.
It's the perfect marriage of those two.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of stuff going on in Scream.
Me too.
Underneath the surface that you can delve into. And I think part of the, like I said, I think part of the thing that's always fascinated me on repeat viewings is who's in the behind the mask at any given time, because it's very important, I think.
Right.
If you want to dig deeper.
Yes.
For instance, Stu being the one to chase Sydney into Billy's arms. There you go. That's just one sequence, right?
Right.
Another perfect example is, and a reason why I always think that Stu did care about Tatum, I think he had legitimate feelings for her, despite his craziness. Billy is the one that goes and takes and kills her. There's a moment when Billy comes back into the room, and he kind of gives Stu a nod, almost like...
Yeah.
It's done kind of thing. It's interesting. There's moments like that you can, if you look at it, you're holy shit, they're acknowledging each other right there.
Right.
Even moments when Stu's doing his liver alone and making all those jokes, and Billy kind of hits him shut the fuck up, dude.
Yeah.
He's telling him that because he's you're going to screw this up for us.
Yes.
Not because you're being insensitive. That's not it. You know what I mean? The rewatches really do. They add something.
Yep.
I think. Yeah. For sure.
Okay, good.
Nick, you need to rewatch this.
I think, yeah. Oh, definitely. I think anybody who hasn't seen it in a while definitely needs to rewatch this movie, because I think it's, beginning. The other question I wanted to ask you, what do you think about Gail Weathers in this movie?
Gail. She, in this movie, she's kind of just an asshole. But you know what, though? She's so perfectly a time capsule of what a lot of journalism was like in that time period.
Because this is coming out of OJ.
Yes.
And this is, she's
the
very
sensational,
much hard copy was the show. Yeah. Inside Edition, I think, was
this
the show.
This is very sensationalistic 90s shock rock type news, right? And so I think, I can't even say that her character ages great in this movie because it is a little bit of a time capsule, right? Because we don't see this like we used to. It's not the Jerry Springer era anymore.
Right.
But I think that anybody who kind of goes into this movie recognizing that that is a character who has to recognize that's a character that very much would exist in that time period. And I think she grows as a character too, to be honest with you.
No, I think this is, yeah.
I think that you learn, not super early on, but you learn, and not even through her and Dewey's kind of early romance stuff here, you do learn, I think, towards the end of the movie that all of that is an act for her. She's doing what she's
I,
being.
I think she has a good arc in this movie.
Yeah. I think she's totally 110%. She's playing a character of Gale Weathers when she's on the news and doing the job she's doing. Doesn't make it okay. She's still rather reprehensible in a lot of ways.
Yeah, she's kind of a shitty person, but...
But she is literally just doing what she thinks she has to do as a woman in the 90s in journalism to be successful, and that's to be shocking and salacious. That's it. I don't think there's... You know what I mean? And I think that... There are a couple of moments in this movie where, like, you see her kind of just say, you know what, fuck that. I don't need to be this person right now, you know. And I think as the movies go on, I think you get more of her as a person. I like Gale. I do.
Yeah, I think part of the reason... Okay, so I'm not going to get too deep into this, I promise.
Sure.
I think part of the reason... The thing with Gale is, like, she's a good... She's... Part of the issues I think we have in the world right now... A lot of the people that we see like Gale are not like Gale. They're just con men and con women on the news. And and I mean, like, they have infiltrated like mainstream news at this point. Gale, though, is a pretty sympathetic version of that in a lot of ways, because she is that, but she's not a con woman. She's just kind of shitty, but there is a part of her that's trying to get to the actual truth of this.
I always get this vibe of Gale, and they don't dig terribly deep into it at any point, but Gale was somebody who legitimately wanted to be a good reporter and an investigative journalist, and that was what, and then she figured out, unfortunately, pretty quickly that as a young, attractive woman, the only way she was going to be taken seriously is if she went this route of, it was just the only way it was going to work for her.
Yes.
But I think that she still has a passion for, maybe I'm thinking way too deep into this, she still strikes me, like you said, as having a passion for digging in and getting down to the truth, even if it means she has to be that character and be that person.
I just think it's an interesting snapshot of the time, because I think if you made Scream right now, that character would be a straight up villain in a lot of ways.
It'd have to be, right?
I think it would almost have to
have
be. But back in the 90s, we were still in the middle of that kind of...
Yeah.
But now, all bets are off.
I think we're too far gone.
Yeah, me too. So, anyway, I wanted to talk about Gale a little bit.
No, that's fair. As far as other characters, I love Sydney. I think Sydney Prescott's a great character.
Great.
One of the great...
Final girls.
Heroines, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Love Dewey. Dewey is not terribly active in this one like he will be.
Dewey
He was actually supposed to die originally in this movie.
Yeah.
They added that scene of him on the stretcher.
I remember clinging to Dewey more in the sequels, particularly 2, if I recall.
Yeah, Dewey, I think, becomes a much stronger character in 2. In this movie, he's certainly lovable, and there's a reason why they decided to keep him around, and I'm glad they did. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't do a ton in this movie, and that's fine.
This is where he and Courtney Cox fell in love, right?
That's awesome. Yeah, yes. I think he says that we met on Scream 1, we fell in love during Scream 2, and we got married during Scream 3, and we were divorced during Scream 4.
So, yes.
Yeah. But anyway... So if they get around to Scream 5, who knows, man?
Yeah.
You know?
Who knows? They still, I believe they're still very cordial with each other.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think
nice.
They had a production company back when Cougar Town was on the air, her show on ABC.
I like to think they are. My guess is she's probably a little concerned about his extracurricular
activities.
His
professional wrestling career.
Getting stabbed in the neck with light tubes. But
by my man Nick Gage.
Yeah, he's a maniac. anyway, but yeah, I like Dewey. I like all the whole cast actually quite a bit. This movie doesn't have any black people in it, which is a little problematic, I think.
I was saving some of that because I think there is a little bit. Well, obviously there are black characters in the second
sure.
movie, and I think if I recall correctly, there is stuff to say.
Yes,
like in that.
Yes,
on
in
that
the second
subject.
Movie. Yeah, it's a little bit. It's a little weird to me that there's not at all. I mean, at the time, it didn't bother me. If I'm being honest, I just didn't. I didn't think about it. But I think.
I will say this. I think
don't know.
It ties into what we talked about a little bit earlier, which is we're going. What's scary to white America? White kids getting murdered by other white kids.
Sure. Well, yeah. And I should say this is a bit of a well-to-do WASPy group too.
Right.
I could see them being maybe not even fully intentionally being a little bit elitist and a little bit, you know, we only hang with our type kind.
Right.
And I'm not even saying that of like the Sydney character necessarily. I think she hangs out with these people, but I don't think they necessarily are actively. You know, bad kids in that sense. I think that they
are in a bubble.
Yes.
Yeah,
very much so.
Ways.
What they think is a very safe bubble.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And honestly, it almost works because then two is where Sydney kind of gets out of that bubble, and that's yes. where she interacts yeah. with the characters.
And let's be honest, a lot of folks grow up in a bubble that's very similar.
Yes. Oh,
I did.
Totally. Yes.
I did.
Totally.
I know you did too.
Yep.
So.
Yep. So, you know. Yeah, I didn't get exposed to other cultures, all their races a lot until I went away.
Much later. Yeah. Same here. Really. Another. I mean, same here. So.
So it works. It works in that sense too. Yeah. Yeah. I do remember that. I thought the same thing, but then I remembered two dives into that. And honestly, like that is a thing that West dives into a lot in the '90s.
Yeah.
With people under his stairs. And,
yeah. Yeah. And I think he does a mostly good job of it.
Yeah.
So.
I did too.
So I forgive that a little bit. Yeah, I love Scream.
You want to talk about Ghostface real quick, that mask?
Yeah, what a cool mask, right?
Yeah, Wes was not happy with the MTV show. Wes got like, before he passed, sadly, he got very like, kind of catty.
He got very Carpenter?
He had that, he was more like, yeah, he was more catty. He was more like sassy in some ways. What was the one tweet I sent you about, I don't even remember. Anyway,
I don't remember either now.
No, it's really funny though, because it was about, wasn't it about Cursed?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody's like, "Please, we need the Cursed cut," and then somebody goes, "Please don't." Or, "No, it's okay, don't."
Anyway, but he was not happy with the MTV Scream mask. He was like, "Why did they even bother changing
it?" That's amazing.
Like,
why get grouchy about that? I don't know. I mean, I get it. It's not as good, but.
Yeah, they brought it back for Scream Resurrection, the Mary J. Blige, Tony Todd.
Is that what it's called now, Scream Resurrection? Is that the current? Okay, cool.
Yeah. I'm going to watch it, and then I will report back by Scream 4. This was, so a lot of people think this was inspired by the painting. Is it Edvard Munch?
Yes.
The Scream?
The Scream, yep.
But it was actually more of an homage to, I found this, Bloody Disgusting and Fangoria back in 2000, around the time of Scream 3 had an article on this. It was more of an homage to the old, do you remember the old Betty Boop cartoons, those ghosts? Those like, they
oh
would go,
man, yes.
And they would
yes.
float around like that.
I do.
It's more of an homage to that, and then some of the things in Pink Floyd's The Wall.
Okay.
So it was actually more of an homage to that. It was, originally, I think it was called Fun World. They sold these masks between 91 and 92, a version of them. The final, this is from Bloody Disgusting, I believe.
Okay.
The final design was approved by Fun World Vice President Alan Geller. Craven claimed to have originally found the mask, but later clarified that he misremembered the event, and it was producer Marianne Maddalena who discovered it. She found it while inside a house during location scouting for the film and brought it to the attention of Craven, who set about trying to obtain the rights to use it. Fun World licensing director joined Fun World 96 and was given the task of naming the mask prior to its film debut and deciding on Ghostface with the blessing of Fun World owners. He believed it looked like a ghost in pain.
Yeah.
So I think it's one of the best.
Oh, it's so sweet.
Yeah.
And it could have come off as goofy, right?
Yes.
But it's really cool.
And you know Wes was drawn to it, I think, too, because it was it reminded of that painting.
That was part of it. Yeah, oh, yeah, Professor. and there are some parallels to be drawn to the Michael Myers mask, too. I mean, there's a
right.
there's a blankness to it. That it's just almost pure white. Yeah, I love the ghost face.
And it led to the best moment in Scary Movie where it gets high.
It's so sweet. It's so sweet. God, what a moment.
Still, honestly, it's one of the funniest things of all time.
That movie's not good. It doesn't age well.
There is some stuff in...
There's some problems. There are full-on characters that are issues.
There is one scene in particular. Boy.
Yeah. but that mask changing to that goofy grin, after it's really funny. That's a good gag. Anyway, I think they wrote the movie because of that. Somebody came up with that. Anyway.
Yes.
What I love about Ghostface, too, and I'm not talking about the men behind the mask anymore. I'm just talking about the presence and the character of Ghostface when it's the masked killer, is I love that he's kind of a clumsy fuck. And he falls down, and
it's
you can hear
best.
Him go like, ah, ow,
yes,
Jesus, ah. Like, it's the best. Because it
Jason's
never...
Jason's really clumsy in those early ones, but
yes.
You don't get the, like...
Oof. I love that about Ghostface, because... It's part of the character. You're constantly reminded that somebody human is underneath that thing.
Yeah.
Even if you don't care who it is, you're reminded,
right.
This is someone under here. It's not some unstoppable killer like Jason, Freddy, Michael Myers. This is a real person here. And I love that. And, of course, a big part of what makes the character of Ghostface work so well is the voice on the phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what the gentleman's name is.
It's somewhere in my notes.
But he's a character, man. Have you ever listened to interviews with that guy?
No, I have not, actually.
Well, he doesn't show off his face.
No?
At all. He refuses to.
Amazing.
I don't think anybody other than probably Wes knew what he looked like. So, no, I think people know now. But for a long time, he refused to meet anybody, you know, to say who he was. So,
do you know what Wes did to poor Drew Barrymore in that opening scene to get her to cry so much?
I don't.
He told her like horrible stories of animal rights, like animal abuse, because she's a big animal rights activist. So he would just like sit there and just like tell her awful stories of things.
I like to think that was her idea. Hopefully, that he didn't just go, you know what I'm going to do?
Yeah. Through? Yeah.
Man.
Another fact, because you were talking.
She does seem very upset in those that opening sequences, dude.
She's been
it's insanely good.
She's so good. We should point that out, that
it's so good.
That was a big selling point of this movie too, especially after its release. It was all like, you have to see the first 10 minutes of this movie.
It's so good.
And it's still, I mean, that is Wes operating at peak Wes. Like, he has got that thing tight and locked down.
Yep.
The other thing is caller ID after this movie increased threefold.
Can't blame people.
No. And it's become an integral part of our every, because it's just built into phones now.
Yep.
So
Roger Jackson, by the way, sorry.
I knew it was Arlen. I was going to call him Richard.
Ah.
One other fact I wanted to get out to, the MPAA, the good old MPAA, this was rejected for R and rated NC-17 9 times.
Now, my understanding was some of that was certainly violence and gore-based, but a lot of it was the fact that it was violence against kids, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
They had to... What was a couple... So a couple of the issues that I remember them having is the Weinsteins told them, like, no, this isn't really a horror movie, it's a dark comedy, and they bought that, and Wes told them... They took particular issue with the first 10 minutes, and particularly the stabbing of Drew Barrymore's character in the chest.
Okay.
They thought it was too brutal, so Wes told him, like, that's it. I don't have any other shots. Like, that's got to go in the movie. And they believed him. And the other thing, too, is that shot of that kind of quick...
Yeah, it was never meant to be like that, right?
Yeah,
it was supposed to be like a very slow...
I still think it works because it leads into those... Yeah.
It totally works. I bet the other one's very uncomfortable to watch.
Right.
Understanding was it, like, lingers on her guts, because she's, like...
Yeah.
Like,
what's funny is on the VHS, it was always tough to see because the VHS, maybe it was just my TV.
No, I was always like, what is going on there?
Yeah,
but
on DVD, it's in Blu-ray, it's clear. Like, it's her guts hanging out all over.
It's pretty gnarly.
But yeah, that quick zoom into her was never supposed to be like that.
Yeah.
It was just Wes, he took out frames of it.
My understanding, and I don't remember where I heard this or who I heard it from, it was on some sort of documentary or interview, was that the original plan for that bit where it kind of flies in towards her body, right, was that it was literally just supposed to be a slow crawl,
right.
And the only thing you'd hear were, like, the sirens and the parents screaming and crying and stuff, which would have been like,
that stuff
whoa.
Is so brutal, too.
Yeah, it's hard. That her death is really hard to watch, actually.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
All right,
it's very effective.
Now, the movie proper, you think we're good? Think we've done a good job with Scream?
Yeah, man.
I think we've done it, Justin. Yeah. I think this is, if you're debating, just skip the class of 1996, the first one we did. Listen to the other movies we talked about. I think we've done a better job on this one. Yeah, we've definitely gone more in depth.
Yeah, I love Scream, man. I can talk about Scream all day.
Yeah, me too. I'm
so good.
I'm excited to check out the sequels because I have not seen them in a while.
Has it been a while? Yeah, I don't know when the last time I watched them.
Two is the one I revisit more because I think it's
two is on TV a lot.
I think it's the best as well.
Of the sequels? Yes. Yeah.
I think it's a very good sequel.
Yeah, right now, and I haven't rewatched the sequels yet. I will be. But I think if I had to rank them, I'm curious to see how this winds up, but if I had to rank them right now at this exact moment, it'd be 2, 4, 3.
Okay. I think I go in order, but yeah. I 3 and 4, it's been so long.
Yeah.
That I can't, and I may just have Jay and Silent Bob bias. Because I know they're in 3.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're not in 4, if I recall.
They're not in 4. Anthony Anderson's in 4, though. Love Anthony Anderson.
I don't even remember 4.
It's true.
Get
excited.
Like, don't even remember. Anyway, so real quick, give a couple things real quick, and then we'll get into the ending. You were 10 years old at the time Scream came out,
I was
right?
10, yes. So
what
I
were
think
you
like
doing?
5th grade would have been. Yeah.
So what was young Willie doing?
Well, I was having my first and only birthday party.
Oh, really?
My parents didn't do birthday parties when I was young. And you know what? As somebody who has a child, now I get it. I don't blame them. Yes. Not saying I'll follow the same lead. There's a good chance that I'll be doing a birthday party.
They didn't do big birthday parties.
No, I mean, like I got gifts. Yeah. It wasn't like they ignored me on my birthday.
I just clarify because
I didn't have like sleepovers with friends over and the whole nine yards. It was not a thing.
My parents were the same way. I may have had a couple where like I had one or two friends that were over, but
okay.
Like, that was it. Like they were
and
not.
I did that frequently anyway, where I'd like stay the night at my friend Charlie's house or whoever. Like that was a thing. So like that wasn't a big deal. This is the first time I had like a group of friends over, and we ordered like pizza, and we did the whole thing. Right, allowed to stay up late and watch movies and stuff. But I'll never forget. This was the I got Goosebumps the board game.
Aha, okay.
Goosebumps was hot around this time.
Yes, indeed.
Peak of hotness. And we played the hell out of Goosebumps the board game. And then later on, I remember somebody snuck in a Playboy magazine.
Ooh. Was it a current one? Would it have been a 1996 Playboy?
Yeah, it would have been.
Like around that time?
If I remember right, it was pretty recent at the time.
Okay.
And we were all like, whoa, check it out. It's cool. Yeah. but I remember specifically, we were all like sitting around looking, look at that, cool, great, being young guys and or whatever. And I remember all of a sudden you heard my parent, we were in the living room and my parents' room was right adjacent to the living room. And we heard the doorknob moving like somebody was coming out. And so I remember I took the Playboy, like threw it across the floor and it like slid and was going to slide underneath the TV stand, which was my goal. And it was just hanging out by, like, this much. But it was just enough to know what it was.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, what part was hanging out?
It was, like, the PL. Like, you could see it was clearly, like, the... And, like, I remember my dad coming out. Hey, guys, what's going on? Everybody good? You know, and everybody walking out or whatever. I think he was just getting up to go get a glass of water or something. And he was, like... I mean, his foot was this close to hitting this thing, and I was terrified.
Right.
But we got away with it. He didn't notice it. He was groggy and half asleep, I think, so... It worked out good. That was a hell of a birthday party. Lots of fun. We watched movies. Like I said, I got to play some Goosebumps the board game.
Good board
game.
And
I had my... dude, I found it on eBay. I want to get it again. Okay. It was sweet. You go through like a haunted graveyard and you meet up like with Slappy and stuff. It was pretty cool. But no, I'll never forget that because I remember that was like the first time I ever saw a Playboy magazine was when I was 10 years old. So there you go. There's my big memory was trying to expertly throw the magazine so that my dad would not notice it. And it worked.
Okay, so he was none the wiser.
This might have been the Sable issue.
I'm going to say no.
No, that would have been later.
That would have been later.
I saw that one when I was a young fella too, but this one would have been later. So.
Like, I jumped in. No.
Like you didn't see it. It's
I know this one.
You know, I think that was a few years after. That was actually the March 99 issue. Anyway, but yeah, that was a, you know.
It's one of those things if you have a
little uncomfortable talking about now, maybe, but that was a kid.
But you're, I mean, you're an adult now. Yep. If you had a young, if you had a boy,
I would understand.
You would. I mean, you kind of.
I would explain it.
Yeah, you would know these sort of.
I don't know if Playboy magazine's a thing really anymore. So.
No, you would probably find them on the old the
interwebs
on the net on the net,
which is way scarier.
Gets up much. I'm with you. I had to rely. We had to rely on magazines.
Yeah, I just had to buy my kid a stack if I had a boy. I think just a stack of magazines. Just don't go on the computer. Just look at these. Please, stay off the computer.
We actually had a magazine in the woods.
You hide it out there?
Yeah, it was like hidden. Yeah. My buddy Corey would hide it. I'm selling him out right now because I
whatever.
But he would hide it. We'd go look at it.
I had a friend.
And they would smoke cigarettes. I would not.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I had a friend who had. Do you remember Pogs? Pogs were.
Of course, yes.
Yes, of course. He was the one and only kid I knew that had a Pog maker. That's right.
Shit.
You could take a magazine or a piece of paper with a picture on it, and you could put it in this thing and stamp it down, and it turned it into a Pog.
Okay.
I don't know how it worked. Whatever.
Okay.
So, needless to say, somebody got a hold of a Playboy. And we made naked women pogs.
That's, I mean,
those things you could trade for some good pogs.
I was gonna say, honestly, that's pretty. I mean,
yeah, it's pretty entrepreneurial.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Good for him.
Sell those at the Emory Zone.
It's impressive,
buddy Steve. Yeah. God, okay, I'm glad we got that out there. I do have a real quick. I do have a November 1998 Fangoria magazine in front of me.
Oh boy,
this is number
a different
one.
Kind of magazine.
Yeah, number 158. Yeah, we'll just scroll through it. The movie Bad Moon is on the cover. You remember Bad Moon, the werewolf movie with Muriel Hemingway?
Michael Perry? I don't remember it being very good.
I just watched it recently. It's okay.
Okay.
It's like one of those, it's like I mentioned, it's like one of those mid-90s horror movies that you're like, okay, that was better than I thought.
Okay.
We've got Monster Invasion, which features a interview with Ole Wess. We do have the video, I can't remember what it's called, but some of the videos that were out at the time. Cannibal the Musical, which was by the South Park guys. You ever see that? A trauma movie.
I think so, yeah.
Demented. I'm not familiar. Dementia 13. Evil Ed. Halloween. This was a Voyager. Oh, this is, the Carpenter Classic is now available on a lower price CLV disc featuring the Criterion widescreen transfer with the supplements.
Oh.
Oh, without the supplements. Okay, so that's why it's lower price. TCM 3 was out. Something Wicked This Way Comes. TCM 2. Looks like we've got Children of the Corn, The Gathering coming out.
Oh, no. So.
Pinocchio's Revenge. Yeah, maybe in the 90s we're a little off. All right, you want to know who's going to be appearing at the Halloween Weekend of Horrors?
Oh, or God, the, I can't. Fangoria. I cannot wait.
Roger Corman.
Okay.
Sean Cunningham. Karen Black.
Okay.
Mick Garris. Steve Johnson, who did the effects.
Yeah.
Oh, he's an effects guy. He did Species, and he was previewing Anaconda at the time.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Emily Kincaid, who is from the Night of the Demons trilogy.
Okay.
And then Peter Atkins, who is the Hellraiser series scripter.
Oh.
I mean, he's not. Anyway, Tales from the Crypt, also featuring Tales from the Crypt FX artist John Van Vliet, the sexy women of Femme Fatales, a screenwriters panel, model making expo, and all sorts of stuff. Dario Argento is going to be at the one in January.
Oh.
Larry Cohen, Tim Thomerson.
Oh, now we're talking.
Betsy Palmer, Amelia Kincaid, also she's back in January. Also back are the sexy women of Femme Fatales.
Okay. So,
good for them. We've got a story on Halloween, the Halloween composer Alan Haworth. We've got a story on Millennium by Chris Carter of the X-Files.
That was on our almost watch list.
Real X-Files or Millennium?
Millennium.
Oh, have you watched the X-Files?
No.
Okay. I would.
The X-Files doesn't have Lance Henriksen. So.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Well, I think he's in one episode, the one that was a backdoor pilot.
Right, he's not a regular.
But I'd be watching Millennium for Lance. So
this one's for Alex. We have a Laserdisc section that features Natural Born Killers and Hellraiser. The Hellraiser is, you can barely see it, I'm sure, but the cover is sweet. It's just a black background with the outline
cool.
of the Hellraiser.
Yeah, that's very cool.
The Laserdisc is...
Laserdisc
is good. We've got some very fancy Fangoria horror,
that's cool.
horror ties.
3D ties, like 3D. Men's ties that you would wear. Yeah, sure.
Right. You've got some nice. Skulls. I mean, wear these to work.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Go over well. Desperation by Stephen King is out.
Okay.
Let's get real quick to the old classifieds.
Oh boy.
I gotta bring number this one. Closer. Yeah, the '80s are where number one really lies, because this doesn't so have sweet. Anybody. This has people selling vile videos, horror exploitation, Asian and other rarities.
Yeah.
Just send $3, $5, $4, and $2 witching hour video. Someone's selling horror CDs, videos, and Lucio Fulci. Sorry. The way they word these things.
It's amazing.
Selling horror CDs.
They probably had to pay for a certain amount of words, so they had to like cram everything in there awkwardly.
Yeah, and so there's apparently Lucio Fulci's up for, okay. Up for grabs.
The man himself.
Laser discs, imports, and rarities. Halloween vampire cat eyes. These are soft contact lenses.
Oh, okay.
That give you like cat eyes.
Sure.
Official Trauma merchandise. You can still buy that.
Yeah. That's easy.
Yeah. New internet website, Real McCoy Entertainment Services. So if you want to check them out.
Okay.
The X-Files, someone's selling. Phantom Video, which once again, uncut, uncensored, horror, sleaze, cult, and sexploitation imports. Smoking ceramic incense. Perfect. So, smoking ceramic incense burners.
Do you ever have an incense burner?
No, the incense give me a headache.
Okay, I had an incense burner. I never used it, but I had one for some reason.
Was it a skull like this one?
No, I don't know what the hell it was, but I had one for sure. I thought it was really cool.
Horror Princess Lisa Cook does custom videos.
Ooh, boy. maybe it's...
Let's end it there.
Yeah. Maybe it's not what it sounds like.
So, from what I can tell, she would be number one.
Yeah. Yeah, Lisa
or Lucio Fulci.
Lucio Fulci number one. Awesome, man.
All right, that's
cool.
It.
So next time around, it's going to be Scream 2.
Scream 2.
We're going to continue the summer of Scream.
Where can the good people reach us?
HorrorMovieYearbook@gmail.com if you want to send us something a little lengthier. Otherwise, we're on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Horror Movie Yearbook. You can find us there. On Twitter, we're @HMYearbook. So, yeah, feel free to reach out and... if you've got any ideas for episodes after our Summer of Scream, if you've got any thoughts on the Scream franchise.
Yeah. We are doing the vampire.
Yes, we'll be doing, yes, that will be happening. And if you still got, if you didn't get a chance, and I'm gonna let my wife know this too, to get your top 10 of all time list, and you can still do that.
Still do that,
send
yeah.
Send it
yeah.
in. Yeah, sometimes it takes a while to figure these things out. That's a big deal to make that list. I didn't feel fully confident in mine. I don't think you did either away. So,
No, I still don't. I just do it.
We get it. So go for it. Send it in. We'd love to hear it. Otherwise, just stay safe out there.
Yeah, I was going to run this. I forgot to run this by you. I don't want to do the typical sign off anymore.
Okay.
I want sincerity here. I don't want to end with a joke anymore.
Okay.
I want to tell people thank you for listening, because I don't think we do that enough.
Yeah, thank you.
And I want to tell them to be safe.
Yep. Stay safe.
Stay safe.